Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to say thanks for all the love and support recently for the 300th episode. It really means a lot to hear everybody was enjoying it and things. So if you missed it, again, it's available still online 24/7 at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and rockpaperpodcast.com. Be sure to check out the Loft Sessions on Facebook and Twitter for all the videos of the songs and full video of the interview as well. So check that out. And so this week is sponsored by Gaslight over on the hill at Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard. Check them out at GaslightSTL.com. They're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Come over this week on November 4th. You can see Sister Wizard there. November 5th, Cara Louise. And November 7th, Nick Guzman. So yeah, check these people out. I have a full listings on their website at GaslightSTL.com, like I said. And but yeah, just a lot of wonderful things going on over at Gaslight. Some great recordings are coming out of there. They're supporting all kinds of your favorite locals. There's always a big party going on. So check it out. And I also want to say thank you to Music Record Shop for supporting the show. This episode is sponsored by them. You can come out November 2nd and see Steel City Jug Slammers doing a live in-store over there at their new location on Washington Avenue, right next door to KDHX. And then also mark your calendar for Friday, November 25th. That's Record Store Day, Black Friday. They got all kinds of great exclusives, all kinds of limited edition vinyl and a bunch of other great things. So, but yeah, new records in every Friday over at Music Record Shop. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Oh yeah, this is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and you're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast. Check it out at rockpaperpodcast.com. Yeah, dig it!
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Soda. Do you remember feeling so unreal? Do you remember OK Soda? Thinking this is how you'd always fail. Do you remember OK Soda? Do you remember singing I Am One?
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today at
Utopia
Studios in St. Louis with the guys of Shark Dad.
Hi, Shane.
Welcome back to the show, guys.
Hello.
Thanks, Shane.
It's been a little over a year. You missed us?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, previously we recorded in Steve's Hot Dogs.
Oh, man.
And that was a pretty wild night. Got a bunch of free hot dogs. So.
That was the best part. Oh, the lights. Oh, they're blinking the lights at us. I think we're drawing too much power.
We're getting the light. There
too
it
much
is.
Power. So yeah, we've gone through a lineup change since then.
Yeah,
our drummer, our guitar player, the second guitar player also took a leave of absence. So I called up some friends, one of which is of course our comedian friend Jeremy Essick here.
Yeah, I thought this guy looked kind of familiar.
Yeah, that's me. Hello.
And, our mutual friend Kevin, Mr. Kevin Legg. Hey. A friend of both yours, mine, and Jason from Ben Diesel's. So we kind of got some. And of course, returning as always is Mr. Paul Crash. Wacky and the Beeve of the Boarded with Paul Crash. That's we need sound effects.
Beep, beep.
Yeah.
I do have this TV sitcom app or whatever on my phone. We could
like a laugh track.
Yeah, we can.
There we go. Great. That's what we
need. Yeah, we need to break that out. Get all kinds of. It's got like different like transition themes too. You know,
okay.
Like as they like enter the room and stuff. Like,
oh,
you know,
sure.
Like, yeah. So.
Fall down those stairs.
Yes, that staircase will get you. If you've never been to Utopia Studios out here at in the Terror Grove Shaw neighborhood, it's a nice place, and but there's. There's a stairs to the outside that will actually kill you if you're not careful.
Yeah, I think Paul said he threw out his back.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
But yeah, so we thought it'd be fun to sit down and talk and get to catch up with you guys. It's, like I said, it's been a little while now. I think I've recorded like 130-something episodes since then.
Oh, my God.
Something
it's a madman. Yeah, it was 300 was pretty recent, right?
Well, it's been well at the time we're recording this. Yeah. It'll be coming out in the next couple of days.
Wow.
I've got it. I recorded it a bit ago.
So you like one every other day?
Yeah, I did the math a little while back, and I think I about 1.5 days or something like that. I've been there was a couple of weeks I was putting out 5 a week for a while, and
that's crazy.
So yeah, I've been trying to hustle and make something happen here and having a great time doing it. So,
we thank you.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to come back. And, you know, we just, the last time, you know, it was a bit of a mess only because there were just so many of us in one room and it was really loud.
Sure.
So we're a little bit quieter.
Yeah.
A little bit nicer place. I'm very jazzed the fact that we got so many amazing people in the same room now.
Definitely.
And, I told these guys last week, man, I'm pumped. I'm ready. We've got a show coming up. We're going to be doing November 3rd for Susie Q's Three Bands for $3 at Venice Cafe.
Yeah.
And I don't even know the lineup, but I know that we're just going to take the stage and destroy everyone. Is going to be there.
Sure.
That's friendly.
I know. Yeah. No,
well, we hate right. everyone else.
Yes. That's it.
Well, usually Susie plays, though, so I'm sure it'll be you and Susie Q and then whoever the third band.
Oh, man. She's a hoot, too, man.
Yeah.
I saw her do the Ani DiFranco tribute show, not the Undercover Weekend one, but the one that she did with, like, Leslie Sanzaro and a bunch of people that she knew that were really into Ani. And they did a show called... Work Your Way Out, and it was 3 or 4 different bands all doing Ani songs and all that Ani DiFranco stuff. So, of course, I've seen her so many times before that, but yeah, like those, that was pretty much the most recent time I've seen her.
Sure.
But every time I see her, man, I'm just like, God damn it.
Yeah.
She could kill me with a pinky.
I tend to run into her at Off-Broadway a lot.
That's
so I catch her there a lot of nights. But But yeah, she's another friend of the show. We recorded one for with her and Robin talking about Riding with St. Louis.
Riding with St. Louis,
I
appeared on that once as well.
Yeah.
That was very strange because we opened the show. And it was me talking about, it was me talking about Maria Bamford. But they only caught the bit where I think they only opened with the line about sex hole.
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's the way we opened the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Sex hole. Huh?
Yeah. So
that's the title of this episode.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go, right there. It's organic.
Boom. Done. Cut, print, perfect.
So, I was hooking for white teeth and tight buns.
Yeah. White teeth, tight buns is actually... Paul said that apropos of nothing earlier this evening, and I think that might actually be the name of something, some release.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about Chips, the whole theme music from Chips, and how, it's like, it's a whole genre, the whole, idea of Chips theme music.
Yeah.
And the first thing I thought was white teeth and tight buns.
Yeah.
Well, you guys do have a lot on your A Bigger Boat record that you guys put out last year. There are a lot of really funny titles, obviously. I don't know if we quite got into it, but
no.
do you guys write a lot of those? Just from start with a title and then go make up words, or
no? That's all me just being stupid.
Yeah.
I really enjoy songs with titles that have nothing to do with the song itself.
Yeah.
We wrote one together, and it was called Hank Hill Says Boggle for, 10 hours. And it was the name of a YouTube video that I had became obsessed with, because it literally is just a loop of the guy who plays Hank Hill saying, Boggle, for 10 hours. But I thought, man, that's a great title. I should use that for a song title. And so I wrote a song, and then I went, oh, this would be a great... So it's usually the song comes first, and then what's a funny title to put to this?
It's also super great that you said the guy who plays Hank Hill, as a human.
Well, I respect voice actors.
I would think you would say voice.
Fair enough. That's a good point. Well, I tend to think of the person behind the voice. Like when I hear Bob Belcher, I don't hear the voice of John Benjamin. I see John Benjamin in my mind. And I've actually done a pretty decent run of John Benjamin impressions lately.
Let's hear one.
Oh, God. It's not really...
Was that
no,
it?
Dump. Yeah, that's...
Okay.
It's hard...
Coach McGirt.
Yeah.
Okay. On the spot.
All right, so the first episode of Home Movies, he's referring to Coach McGirt from Home Movies. One of the first episodes, Coach McGirt is telling Brendan... who's the lead character, also played by Brendan Small, not to be like him. Don't be like me, Brendan. Don't be like me, Brendan. I have a tattoo, of a milk cow on my arm because I like cheese, Brendan. Don't be like me.
And scene.
Yeah, I know. So I actually done some voice work recently.
I saw him in my head.
John Benjamin.
Didn't John Benjamin voice the aluminum can on Hot American Summer?
It was a war we couldn't win, Gene. Yeah. he plays the voice of the aluminum can of mixed vegetables.
Yeah, mixed vegetables.
In the Wet Hot American Summer film. But they did the Wet Hot American Summer TV show, and he has a role as, he's physically, he's not a can of beans in the TV show.
Right.
But then through a series of comical circumstances, he becomes the can of beans. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of his. I'm a big fan of voice actors. I did a voice for a video game.
Oh, yeah?
Did you really?
Yeah. It's a game called Kerfuffle. It's not out yet. I did some voice work. So
very cool.
I always have that. Like
Kerfunkle?
I said. Kerfuffle. Like a fight. Like a kerfuffle. It's such a weird word. Kerfuffle.
So like you hope when that comes out, people refer to your role as not the guy who voiced Kerfluffle, but as the guy who played Kerfluffle.
I played Jiro in the game.
Jiro?
It's a J-I-R-O. It's Jiro.
I hear he makes good sushi.
He does. Well, see, that's what they named because
he dreams of it. We know that.
He does. Yeah. That was a really deep reference, by the way, for most people. I don't know that they're going to get that one.
I'm lost in space now.
Yeah.
It was a movie.
Yeah, it was a, was a documentary? Was that a...
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's called Jiro it's Dreams called of Sushi. It's called Jiro Dreams of Sushi.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Swear to God.
Welcome back from space.
Thank you.
Yeah. We had to kind of tether him back. We got him.
We got him.
So we mentioned these new guys. Where'd you go about finding? We mentioned their friends and things, but how did it come about being joining the band and everything? How'd that go down?
Just Facebook, really. Did you contact me on there? It was
friends of friends. I had mentioned to Jason from Ben Diesel that I said, you know, I'm having trouble finding somebody to play drums, and he goes, I know a guy, and it was literally that easy. And as far as Jeremy goes, we've known each other for a long time.
Sure.
And let's see, did we first meet when you were doing Loser, or was that...
We met on the first Loser show, which I believe Shane was also on.
Okay. Yeah, I was on the
first one.
The premiere episode. And what I thought at the time, now that we just ended it, three and a half years later, I thought that would be the only time we did it. It was a one-off show that we ended up doing for 3+ years. But Jason was on the show, Shane was on the show. We went on tour with it. Yeah. I knew Jason from that, and I think really though, the key I would say to anybody looking to join a band is to wear that band's t-shirts in as many... When you know you're going to be in public photographs, you wear that t-shirt as much as possible, and then eventually you get into the band.
It's true.
Because there were 3 years of me wearing Shark Dad t-shirts at various comedy shows, and now I can't wear the t-shirt anymore because it feels too self-promoting.
Too
weird. Yeah, I'm not fucking... Yeah, I'm not Ian Iron Maiden.
Kevin's wearing one now. Kevin's actually wearing the Shark Dead shirt.
And he's in the band.
Kevin's in the band. You made it, man. You can stop wearing it.
Kevin is an Iron Maiden, though. So.
You have to keep wearing this.
They're like the only... Have you ever noticed that Iron Maiden's like the only band that's like all of us but Bruce are going to wear Iron Maiden shirts?
Well, because Bruce, you know, for all his faults, he knows better.
And he can fly a plane.
He still has one up on me.
I saw them. I saw them in Indianapolis, and it was so great. It was not just the performance, but he goes, you, like, they start Wasted Years.
Okay.
And he goes, you in front, get off your fucking phone, and then drops right into it. He jumps off a thing and drops into Wasted Years, and I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Now that's how we're going to have to start every show. You know that, right?
That's, playing Wasted Years? That's cool.
Beautiful. Yeah. Done. Cut. Great, we're good.
What is, what was that, Can't Hardly Wait or something where they show up and they're playing like the house party and then like they...
No, it's PCU where it's Jeremy Piven and he says this to Jon Favreau, who wasn't Jon Favreau yet. He was like, he played the dude in the dreads. He's like, you can't wear the shirt of the band you're going to go see, because he was going to go see P-Funk, and then P-Funk ends up showing up at the fraternity because they just came to use the bathroom.
Right. They can't... Gutter.
Yeah, Gutter. His name is Gutter. Was Favreau's name.
I remember the chant. It was, Gutter is a tool.
Gutter
is a tool.
And he was still like, who was like, one of them was like trying to charge all of P-Funk for toilet paper. Yeah. And they're like, no, man, no. Like, Piven like slides in. This was Jeremy Piven when he was like, hey, cool, I'm losing my hair. Not like Jeremy Piven now where it's like, weirdly, I have a full head of hair.
How did that happen? Yeah. I have to...
Well, I know. We all know how that happened.
I have to call his people because I need to make that happen for myself. As you may have noticed, I am follically challenged. I still say that out loud in public. I don't know why.
On a microphone and while it's recording.
Right. Constantly.
Maybe that's how the new album starts. I am follically challenged.
2, 3, 4.
Yep, exactly.
That's it. Perfect.
Yeah.
Nailed it. A lot of our decisions do that too. We're like, okay. Like, sure, we're going to name the album this. Yeah, all right. And then we're going to... All right, yep. Mm-hmm. At least so far. You know.
We're still doing Spanish Shark Dad.
Oh, yeah. We're still batting around the idea of calling the next album Tiburón Podre Siempre Vive, which means Shark Dad Lives Forever.
Yeah.
Something like that. I think,
like a
I think
minus
that's
the bear
that.
Kind of thing to do.
Yeah, Menos El Oso. Yeah, that's Minus the Bear did name their album Minus the Bear en Español.
That band was so much better when the bear was still in the band.
True that. True that. It was just Minus?
Yeah.
No, it was just, I think they were just called, like, the Bear and these... No, it was the Bear and Sons. It's what they'll do when they kick out fucking Mumford from Mumford right. and Sons. It'll be kind of Minus the Mumford.
It's just N Sons.
N Sons.
Yeah. So you guys mentioned Ben Diesel and friends of the show also, you will be playing with those guys December 10th at the Heavy Anchor.
Yes.
Dan Kelly Christmas.
Dan Kelly Yay. Christmas, number 11.
11.
Number 11.
Incredible show. Everyone should go.
Every.
It's also
every,
the night before my birthday, so I'm going to be
this guy right here.
It's going to turn midnight.
I'm
going to
be super fucking Buck Cherry at the end of that night.
I've never heard Buck Cherry used as a verb.
Well, it's like Buck Wild.
I'm a wordsmith.
It's like Buck Wild, but taken just that little extra notch.
Or adjective, I guess.
But yeah, Buck. You're getting Buck.
Let's turn over the rest of the interview to Kevin.
Paul just wants to stop talking, except he hasn't said more than five words. So.
Indians are winning.
Yeah, they are. Goddamn right there. It's the end of six, 3-0.
Okay, so we're
Kluber's still pitching.
I'm sorry, we're getting Cleveland Cubs updates as we go through the show.
Sorry, I grew up in, people probably don't know this, I grew up in Cleveland, and my family still lives there, so this is super important to me right now.
Go Cubs.
Go away. Yes, I am. No, it's
I
not.
I have no horse in this race, so I'm just kind of like, yay, sports.
I just want the Blues to score.
I did see a great quote that online about Bill Streeter wrote something about that. That St. Louis is having the greatest music venues are having the greatest October in years.
Yes, they are. So, I can tell you a personal story from 2010, 2011, thereabouts. Right when the Orbs was about to end, was the other band I was in, and there was that venue called the Warehouse on Jefferson, and we had a show. It was the Orbs, Tight Pants Syndrome, you know, another band, and whose name I forget. I'm probably going to offend someone, but
you already have.
Yeah, it's too late. But yeah, like Brian McClellan, Tight Pants Syndrome. He's now in Woe Thunder. He does a lot of that stuff, and he and I were kind of sitting there commiserating. We're going, what the hell are we going to do? It's 9 o'clock and there's like nobody here. And so we kept delaying the start time of the show. And it kept getting, it was like 10 o'clock. Nobody had started playing yet. People were leaving. The five people that were there were leaving. It was, screw it. So we played, you know, we all played really fast sets and we left the show. And it was like the worst night we had in years. The only other night that was that bad was when the Orbs got to open for Adam Franklin. Adam Franklin of Swerve Driver. Like, he's not a big deal, right? And to get to open for him is fucking crazy. And, like, him on a solo tour, yeah. But it was the same night as the All-Star Game. And so, again, you're playing 10 people, diehard Adam Franklin fans. They don't give a shit about your band. They're not here to see you. So we blew through the set, just like got drunk and went home. It was the most ridiculous. Like, I got to meet an idol, and it was the dumbest, worst thing I've been to. It was terrible.
I have a somewhat relative story that involves not an idol, but I was doing a show at the University of Kentucky, and it was while they had a basketball game, and there were three people in the crowd. This is in the student center. There are three people in the crowd, and I go, we're not really doing this, right? And the student union people were like, do you want to get paid? And I was like, I don't want to. I need.
Right.
This is not an option.
I need to get out of here.
And they're like, well, then you're going to do your set. So I'm like, all right. So I had like two openers, and then I went out, and I was trying to like, whatever, be friendly, or which was hard for me to anyways. But,
stalker.
So I go out, and my opening line, I go, hey, I know the crowd's, like, really small, but, like, it's really awesome that the three of you decided to come to the comedy show instead of watching the UK game. And this one guy goes, oh, fuck! And he just left.
God damn it.
Oh, my God.
He was not aware until that moment.
No, not until I mentioned it. Yeah, that was... I'm super good at alienating my audience anyways, right. But that was like top notch for me.
It went from three people to two. You're all, yeah. But yeah, you're right. Bill is right. That club, that, you know, people who are booking shows and club promoters, they're having a great month.
Yeah.
First, best month they've had in years. Because the cards aren't in the series.
Yeah. They're having a great October.
And it's a shame, too, because like, I want to be a homer and I want to be like, oh, that card should have been in there. What a bunch of bums and all that. But I'm like, yeah, but also people are going to come up to shows now.
Sure.
Unless they're at home, hate watching the cards. The Cubs. Ah! Woo!
Yeah.
That'll be over soon.
Yeah. You think?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Seven games. I don't think so.
Six more games.
I think it's going to be in five. I think we're going to have... Somebody's going to get it in five.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
He wrote it in the yearbook.
I did. Cubs in five.
Yeah.
I didn't say what year. Okay. Cubs in five.
So, Jeremy mentioned doing your comedy. You guys said something off earlier about maybe potentially doing... collaborating with that on this next project.
Yeah, we did talk about that.
Yeah, so so my new album is going to be released, I think, in January. It's called Whatever. And instead of releasing a CD, what I decided to do was just release it digitally, but still have product to sell. I'm going to do a 7-inch, and the 7-inch is going to be a split. The first part of it is going to be something from the album, and then the other side is going to be one of our songs, and then within it will be a download card for my full album.
Oh,
so
wow.
That way we can sell it at shows, but I can also sell it when I'm doing comedy as well. So
yeah.
it's completely fucking self-indulgent.
No, I think when it comes to cross promotion, that's brilliant. I've been thinking that like for a while. Like, yeah. Because the worlds of comedy and like alternative rock and indie stuff, they're not that far apart.
I mean, yeah, you look at like all these music festivals, they all have music and comedy mixed in and stuff,
yeah. So. Well, I was thinking like, too, like Neil Hamburger opening for Foo Fighters, you know, like that kind of, like there's always going to be this bleed because the same people who have that kind of alternative sense of humor...
Yeah,
might also be into what we do. So,
yeah, I think it works. I would just advise any comics out there that happen to be listening, don't fucking do band breaks. It's the worst. It's the, like, I remember when I was starting, this is everybody that's starting, like, any gig they offer you, you're like, yeah, 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 I'll do it, like, whatever, it's stage time, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, like, I did, like, three early in my career. The problem with doing band breaks as opposed to, like, opening for a band, which is a totally different thing, but when you're doing breaks in between bands, one, the band's now behind you tearing their drum kit down. And two, people have just listened to 40 minutes of music where they can't talk are finally like, oh, the volume's super low now. It's just some asshole talking. Like, I can talk. And
yes.
Yeah, so that's a tip.
Fair enough. Sure, fair enough.
From my book on stand-up comedy.
You have a book?
Called Don't Go On Stage.
Wait, you have a book?
Yeah, just
no.
Just,
this is fucking,
just don't.
That's like a super fucking
don't.
Inside joke. But
just don't. It is a pop up.
Yeah, it's just me going like, this is where
middle
I was at 22,
finger.
And
that
now
would be
I'm
so
here.
Funny.
Just a pop up book of
we
Jeremy
could have a
giving
split
7
inch with the marital aid, and then the pop up
hey,
book.
See.
By the way, everyone listening at home, Sean's microphone is an incredible marital aid.
By the
you
way,
said this last time.
Everybody
by the way.
Listening at home.
It's even bigger this time.
The name for a really good fuck you punk band would be Marital AIDS.
Yes. Yes. You have to do the A dot.
Marital Aiden.
Marital AIDS.
Yeah. Iron Marital
Aiden. Yeah.
So we're thinking spring, maybe?
That's what we're looking
for
at.
For the
yeah.
new CD?
Yeah,
yeah,
for the new record. That's maybe. Our best bet as far as just trying to get in and do things right.
So honestly, we're exploding with songs right now.
Oh my god, yeah.
We've been writing, every practice we write at least three songs.
Three, I mean there's...
Weaning them down to things that we want to continue to work on over and over and over again.
Or that we
didn't
forget.
Yeah,
well, there's
it's getting difficult to keep it. For me,
that is a
hold on all these things.
That is a downside of having a bar in your practice space. Oh yeah, I think I'm going to grab another drink right now. Oh, wait. Why can't I remember all these songs we wrote?
Right.
Maybe a reason.
Now, that's
there,
not
huh?
to say we have a wet bar in the studio.
No. But it's just,
we
you
do,
know,
but
it's
you
close
know.
Enough.
Yeah, yeah, it's right across the way. Utopia has a fully stocked
yes.
everything.
My God.
And to continue my theme, wet bar is a really good name for a band that like plays like the fucking circuit where it's like Pringles promotes this fucking event. Wet bar is like a really good name for like a like that kind of band.
Like a Red Hot Chili Peppers cover band.
Hey man, we know a really good drummer and a bass player. The rest of us suck. Cool, let's be a Chili Peppers cover band.
Oh.
Oh. Woo. Hot takes. Hot takes, everybody.
Prashante
was
a bad. That really has to
yeah.
be
Prashante, yeah.
Dude, I've tried so many times to do music jokes and they just fucking lay there. Their people are just like, I don't what? I don't care.
We need to be your audience.
I think the Blake, the, like, every time I think of one, I wind up doing something like, oh, and then Bob Nana said, and everybody goes, who the fuck is Bob Nana?
That's the plurality Nana, of my stand-up career.
Bob Nana is my fucking hero. Shut up. Get out of here.
What about for you new guys? You guys have a favorite song you from the Shark Dead catalog you enjoy playing?
Are you talking about old stuff or new stuff?
Yeah, the older stuff that you...
Julianne Hatfield.
Julianne, yeah. The full title of which is, of course, I wrote a letter to Julianne Hatfield in 1986, and I have yet to receive a letter back. Because I hate myself, and I want to make myself remember things like that forever.
I never heard that part of the title.
Yours sincerely.
Yours sincerely, Weed Lord Boner Hitler 420.
JR.
I was supposed to go see the Blake Babies last weekend at a basement show in Nashville.
God damn.
And then I had to do fucking stand up.
Oh, I know, the worst. And,
no, I was really bummed. I was like, can I fucking cancel this? Like the gig got booked after I bought the tickets. And then I was like super bummed. Yeah.
No, I make fun. But yeah, but seriously, that's a damn shame because yeah, she's amazing.
How about you, Jeremy? What do you like?
Yeah, stuff?
Yeah, I would say I like that song. Yeah. I think OK Soda is a very good song.
Yeah. We do Kesha's pretty well.
Yeah.
Kesha's Haunted Vagina.
Yeah.
Which got me in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Almost got me in trouble. We did a Battle of the Bands. We did
at
the
Bush
Battle
Stadium.
At Bush. Yeah, at Bush Stadium back in May.
Bush Stadium.
Yeah, in the inside the stadium proper. And I shouted out, hey, this is the...
He's announcing the title
right.
of the song.
And then Donnie from The Point comes up to me and he's like, hey, keep it clean.
Like immediately.
There's kids here.
So
I said, yeah,
I'm standing
they're mine.
Here,
they're two six-year-olds. They're standing there. They're my kids.
He's announcing.
I have a standing policy not to respect anything anyone named Donnie says to me.
Is that born
well, the
from
thing
the Coen Brothers?
They started
no, it's just
started
born
piping
from...
us over the entire stadium PA.
Sure, all right.
Somebody liked us.
People,
put us out there. All of a sudden, this comes out.
People don't like...
Don't
say vagina.
Next thing I see is Jason in a headlock and somebody talking about
no,
him like this.
Not true.
Oh, really?
He was not in a headlock. It
was
like arm around the shoulder.
Arm around the shoulder.
It wasn't that bad. I don't think it was Donnie. Donnie was sitting there with the weird look on his face.
It was the promoter.
It was the promoter.
Yeah.
Willie.
It's like, this is a
right?
family place.
I don't trust anybody who goes by an IE
Willie,
at a certain point
it's like
in their life.
Donnie.
Like you remember, like...
Jimmy.
I don't want to get too fucking retro, but you remember when, during the Iraq War, and Bush was like, he goes... I'll know when we've succeeded when General Franks tells me we're at that point. And I was like, okay, well, right. Fucking General Franks still goes by Tommy, and he's
Tommy.
In his fucking 60s.
Yeah.
You're
well,
Tom.
Chill out, yeah.
No, I have some problems Tom. With that. I have, you know, you can drop the fucking cutesy shit. I don't know.
Tommy.
At like that should be a thing with puberty. Like, you should
sure.
you should be like, my voice changed. Well, I guess the IE on my name should, like...
right.
Like, if you met a dude, and that dude was like, and you were like, what's your name? And he's like, Chrissy. Like, fucking, if you're not on the Pretenders, get
the fuck out of
here.
Yeah.
I'm Polly.
Well, See,
nice
like,
to meet you.
Ugh. Eddie, I get Eddie.
Yeah, Eddie, Eddie I get. Eddie works.
Eddie will fuck you up with a switchblade. Like, Eddie, Eddie's Eddie's like a bad mother. Don't fuck with him. Like, okay, all right. Eddie's one thing. But yeah, like Pauly. Unless you're fucking Pauly Gutierrez or the fucking Sopranos, don't come at me with that.
Right.
I'm with you on this.
Yeah.
Because, like, when I was a kid, Jesus, my name's Jason. Right.
Jace.
Yeah, fuck JC. You with that shit. Right? Jay. Very few people get to call me that. And it's only because I decided, you know what, I'm not mad enough about it to really bust your balls about it.
Okay.
But fucking anybody else calls me Jay,
really?
And I'm like, I'm guns the fucking Navarone. Like, I'm like, God damn it, stop fucking calling me that. Because it's just so casual and so shitty. Like, don't call me that. Like, it's not that hard to say my name.
Right.
My name's not that long. It's not like you gotta abbreviate it.
Jair.
Who the fuck? What the shit? It's like calling him Jair.
People
Jerry.
Do that.
Jerry.
Who the fuck does that?
Multiple Jerry. People.
It's shitty. I hate it. And I hate that for you.
About the Kev.
The Kev. Duh,
now that's,
Kev.
The Kev.
The Kev.
Well, then you completely eliminated any Kev reason to use that. It's like, Kev. Kevin. Kevy honey.
Yes, go ahead, Shaney.
I get a Shainer. I don't know
Shainer.
Where. Yeah, I don't know why they had. I get the R.
Shainer,
dude.
That would be appropriate if you were also a Shiner. Like if you also Shiner. Walked around with a fucking
sure.
fez and a tiny bike,
makes sense.
Then that would be
completely,
awesome.
Completely, right. Yeah. Or Duder. I heard this one from some friend of mine that now lives in Chicago, but it was Duder. And I catch myself doing it. I catch myself saying Duder. It's just dude.
El Duderino.
If you're not into the whole brevity thing. We're going back to Coen Brothers. But,
That's just taking like some like that. That's the opposite. It's like taking a like yeah. short thing and making it longer.
It's taking the piss. You're completely just Duder. And it's terrible because I catch myself doing it.
Right.
And then I feel really like shame. I feel actual shame. Right.
Yeah. I think it's what's it?
Yep. So do I for recording this.
The with Lynyrd Skynyrd. I think all those guys. The Van Zandt brothers. Ronnie, Donnie, and Johnny Van Zandt. Well,
now that's like a. It's like a, I don't know. I can't fault those guys too much. Like Ronnie, okay, Ronnie is on the border because it's short for Ronald, right? And who the fuck wants to be called Ronald the rest of the life? Joey
can be a name, I believe.
Yeah, Joey, you could actually have that on your like Joey. Like Joey is one thing. Like,
well, also in terms of Skynyrd, you have to realize the fucking backwoods swamps they're from. Like,
fair
it's
enough.
Like,
yeah. No,
sorry, I'm from a super redneck area of Ohio, so like that is just like, well, you at least can spell the name, so let's just give you credit for that and move on.
Spell? What's that?
Exactly. I ain't spilled in the land.
Wow, this really went off the rails.
It sure
did. Hey, man.
Like it always does when I start talking, because that's how things go.
That's what podcasts are good for, though. But yeah, so November 3rd, Venice Cafe, three bands. $3. That's a pretty sweet deal.
$3.
It's a great place too, man. I just recently went over there for the first time.
Really?
And I recorded one at the Boat Bar with Toe Fire Tribe, and but just a beautiful place, man. Like this, it's like a working piece of art, you know. Like they, there's so much cool stuff to look at. Every time I go over there, it's something new to check out, and so yeah. Venice Cafe, man.
Yeah, my wife's a former artist, now art therapist. And so, like, when it comes to, like, appreciating that kind of art installations or that kind of bit where you're really transforming a space, that place is gorgeous.
Right.
It's all the different rooms and all the different, like, spaces. And, yeah, it's fun.
For sure.
But yeah,
and then
like,
December 10th, Heavy Anchor, Dan Kelly Christmas, we said. So
we're learning Christmas songs.
Yeah.
I think. Right? Is that? Okay.
Is that like a...
Kevin laughs. That's made me a little worried.
I mean, is that like a... I haven't actually been to a Dan Kelly Christmas yet, so...
Yeah, it's a yearly celebration. He takes all the proceeds from the show and donates it to Otis Peace Park, which Otis Woodward was a gentleman who worked for civil rights in the St. Louis area for a good long time. He recently passed. He passed last year after Dan Kelly Christmas number 10. It was in January of 2016, I believe. And so his sons, the other Otises, because there's not just one, there's his sons, the Otises, they're taking up the mantle and they're continuing the Peace Parks work. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, supplying jackets for the homeless, or, you know, food for those who are going hungry. And so the fact that we were able to do this show for such a big and good charity every year is a big deal. I'm really jazzed the fact that Dan's asked us to be a part of it again, because we had so much fun the past 2 years, and it's also just such a great cause. I mean, I don't care if we make a dime off it. I mean, it's a show where you know that what you're doing is going to something really, really good, and something that the community, especially on the north side where the police park is, really needs. Like, I grew up in North County. Like, I wasn't quite like North City where the Peace Park is, but like I get it. You know, I grew up in that area.
Yeah.
So it hits home. Like, yeah.
Definitely. You guys kind of do some punk Christmas songs, or?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a few things in.
It's top secret.
Yeah, top secret. It is.
Mostly because we haven't learned it yet, but also just because we also haven't decided. You know, there's a lot of cool things to go with. There's a lot of ideas that we've kind of batted around and haven't really decided. But, you know, we got a little bit of time. Got some time to make that happen.
Yeah.
We could just act out Angels with Filthy Souls.
Hey!
I did,
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Yeah.
Jeremy's face is priceless. It's the pure joy of a child.
Yeah, that's...
I did hear you guys running through... Dead Flowers.
Yeah.
Rolling Stones.
Good Christmas song.
Yeah,
I have
good,
not,
great Christmas song.
I have not
song.
Heard that, that... He started playing and I started singing something that I'd written, and then I realized, oh, wait a minute, this is the Stones.
Yeah.
Because I had not heard that song in, I want to say, like 20 years.
That's a great tune, man.
No, I'm a big Stones fan. Like when my wife and I were just dating, of course, this was the time when you would make a mixtape for somebody, right?
Yeah.
And so I put "I Miss You" on that. Is that
yes, you.
Right? It's so undeniable. Such a great rhythm. And so yeah, like it's from the Steel Wheels tour. It's a live disc that has a great live.
I forget what album it's
on.
I saw them on the Bridges to Babylon tour, and it was like right when like the internet was like becoming a thing, where they like people were trying to figure out how to interact with it, and so they had a thing every night, and it was like you can vote for one of these five songs, whichever song gets the most votes. They play, and I couldn't fucking believe "Gimme Shelter" was on that list, because that's 100% the best Stones song ever.
It should be on the list.
Yeah, that's the best. Well, it should be on the set.
It's not up for a vote.
Apparently, that was the first time I saw them in Columbus. That was the first time that they played that song on the tour. It was like four or five shows in the tour. So that won, and I would like to say in no small whatever to my own voting, and
just spamming it.
Yeah. So it was great. Well, so it was the first time. So when they go to that part where the girl comes out, and I forget the name of their background singer now, but she comes out for the rape and murder part,
right? Screaming,
and so she goes. So she comes out and she comes to center stage. They had a stage that they had a catwalk in
the
crowd,
the little
and so she comes out. And you could see Mick. She got in front of Mick, and he was like, "Oh, no, you fucking don't." And he pushed her behind him. Mick pushed
excuse
her.
Excuse me.
Yeah, excuse you. Me. Yeah. Like, just, you can have your little solo. Get the fuck behind me. It was so hard to tell that story. So, the dude is like twirling fire.
Yeah, I know you can't see this because it's a podcast, but behind us there is
for those of you watching on News Channel 8.
Right. there's a fire juggler behind us, and he's getting into it. He's doing the thing.
Yeah.
And he's in some red patterned pajamas. And in a long sleeve shirt, and boy, I'm terrified, frankly, for his safety,
and mine,
and yeah, and ours, because you know, up there, yeah, okay. So we're going to be a bit distracted for the end of this podcast, but yeah, we actually did give him shelter a couple weeks ago in practice, and it sounded really good.
Is this guy coming to the next show?
I hope so. Yeah. I really do. This guy's great.
This guy needs to be in the band, man.
Yeah, he could be like
the hype man.
He could be it was like that guy in the Boss Tones who
just
plays
dances. Yeah.
Right?
No, Two Skinny Jays did that too. They had a guy that was just in the band to dance. And I'm thinking, like, you know, you did all this touring budget just to have this guy on stage dancing.
Well, that's I always wondered that. Like,
he pay for his own hotel room?
Yeah, like, what's that guy's cut?
Yeah, I went to see Greyhounds.
Fairly significant, if you actually.
I went to see Greyhounds at the Pageant. They opened up for City in Color, and they had this guy like in astronaut outfit,
and
the whole time just kind of leaned back and was dancing the whole like he was on in space though. He was slow motion the whole time, so it was pretty awesome.
You wouldn't have to pay me to do that. You just have to get me really drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, that's all it takes, man. Get Jason drunk.
Yep, I'll put on a spacesuit. Okay. I'm for hire, basically, is what I'm saying.
Well, I guess we'll close this thing up before we catch on fire. Yeah. So
I'm serious. I'm oh god, here comes. Oh god.
But
I'll stand next to the most flammable thing possible. So that.
But we can. You guys want to play some tunes?
Sure.
Yeah.
Want to
throw
some? Oh shit! Yeah, we got very little time left to do so. So let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's come on in and we'll do the thing.
All right. We'll drop some tunes in here. Again, come out November 3rd, Venice Cafe, December 10th, Heavy Anchor, Dan Kelly Christmas. Keep an eye out for some new tunes. Hopefully,
spring.
Yeah, and that split 7-inch coming soon. So. Keep an
Thanks,
eye
Shane.
Out. Yeah,
Thanks,
follow these Shane. Guys online, Facebook.com, all that
slash
fun stuff.
Shark Dead the band.
Yeah.
Twitter is at We Are Shark Dead.
And
Bandcamp is We Are Shark Dead. Bandcamp.com.
There it is. All right. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.